This episode is brought to you by the award-winning Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's a complex 7-year-old whiskey from the industry's Bottled in Bond leader, Heaven Hill Distillery. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Cheers. You're listening to Fix Me a Drink, a Flaviar podcast. Welcome to another edition of Fix Me a Drink. I'm Noah Rothbaum. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, David Wondrich. How are you, Dave?
Well, it's another year, and I'm still here. So, you know, I'll say okay, provisionally speaking. Yourself?
That is something to definitely celebrate. I don't take that lightly. I am grateful that you and I get to do this together. A wonderful thing. So, and as usual, we have quite a show for our listeners today. We have our old friends, Master Distiller Connor O'Driscoll and Whiskey Ambassador Bernie Lubbers from Heaven Hill.
I mean, I've known Bernie in particular for 20 years, so he's an OG in the business. So.
Connor, too. Connor, don't be fooled by his Irish accent. He has been making American whiskey for... I mean, I met him at least 15 years ago in Louisville. So he has been in this industry for a long time. The both of them are really so knowledgeable about all types of American whiskey, but really, you know, bourbon and rye, and in particular, one of our favorite types of whiskey, Bottled in Bond whiskey, which is a whole separate class created by the 1897 Bottled in Bond Act. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
We'll get into that.
Just a little bit.
That's a good thing to talk about. And they've got a lovely Bottled in Bond out now.
Absolutely. Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond, the bourbon whiskey that's 7 years old. Many, many hoops to jump through to get to call your whiskey bourbon and bottled in bond and certainly a 7-year old. So, I mean, all of these things are no small feat. So we'll get our friends Connor and Bernie on the line now. Welcome, Connor and Bernie. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Howdy.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Good to be here.
Not only are you here, you have brought something tasty for us to drink, which we always appreciate from guests, which is the Heaven Hill.
It's not a precondition.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. It's not a precondition, but it's nice. Yeah. So you guys have brought the Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, which is a impressive 7 years old. So which is quite something. Dave and I are long-term fans of Bottled in Bond whiskey, something that I can't even remember when we started talking about Bottled in Bond whiskey, but it seems...
Oh, it's been a while.
We weren't quite on board when the Bottled in Bond Act passed in 1897. Dave was a little dubious. Yeah. I was a little bit more encouraging of it, but we've come around since it's passed, and we're very excited about it. Obviously, we have enjoyed plenty of Bottled in Bond whiskey over the years, I think, with both of you. So
and you know, not a small amount of it from Heaven Hill, too, I have to say.
Absolutely.
We've always been a pioneer in Bottled in Bond, and one of the real stalwarts, like holding the line and keeping Bottled in Bond in the portfolio. And there have been some absolutely... crucial expressions. Rittenhouse Rye was indispensable in the early cocktail revolution, and Mellow Corn is a perennial favorite. Maybe the geekiest following of any whiskey brand.
It's certainly got the biggest cult following, I think.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's unique and delightful. So.
I mean, it's definitely an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the Bottled in Bond. Selection of whiskeys and aging in your bonded warehouses. I mean, Bernie, I really, besides Dave, you were probably the biggest, and maybe Lou Bryson, you were the biggest fan of Bottled in Bond whiskey that I know of. You have a tattoo on your arm to prove it. I mean, for those of you at home, on Bernie's right arm is what, a 6-inch by 6-inch kind of Bottled and Bond whiskey label of sorts.
Absolutely.
And this isn't something new. This has been on your arm for what?
Oh, 13, 14 years now.
Oh, my God. I love it.
That I didn't just jump on the bandwagon. Hopefully we're the bandwagon on that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you are credited with that, Bernie. Like, don't undersell yourself. I mean, certain other podcasters credit you with like saving and bringing back the Bottle and Bond category. And I don't think it's an understatement.
Yeah. Well, I've had the opportunity to be Johnny Appleseed of that. And
there you go.
It takes a village as though, but I'm one of the conduits for that, and I'm proud of that. It's something, and being here at Heaven Hill Distillery, having those riches that we have, and more Bottle and Bonds than any other distillery is really something.
Well, let's go back for our listeners who may not be so yet ready to get a Bottle and Bond tattoo for their arms or even new to this subject.
After the podcast, those needles are going to be buzzing.
Make your appointment now.
Right. You won't be able to get an appointment. So let's go back a little bit, right? And by a little bit, I mean to the late 1800s. You know, Connor, could you talk a little bit about like the state of whiskey, you know, is quite a bit different than today, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was quite a bit different. I mean, the name of the game back then was rectifiers, who were purchasing allegedly whiskey from distilleries and then concocting it into who knows what. You know, the whole bathtub gin concept where, I mean, you hear stories about them adding turpentine and diesel fuel and like the drainings of spittoons in from saloons to give it color and just all kinds of nastiness. So
even the good ones were just making basically column still high proof alcohol and flavoring it down. Even the ones that weren't going for the spittoons.
Yeah,
even at best, it was barely whiskey by any account.
And mind-boggling to think of it in today's terms. I mean, the fact that there was no consumer protection laws at all until 1897, when the Bottle and Bond Act was passed, and it was passed specifically to protect the quality of whiskey and to define what good whiskey was. And you know, if you could then bottle your Bottle and Bond, the consumer knew that it had whiskey and water. It was at least 4 years old. It was 100 proof, and there was nothing else in it. So, again, predated the FDA or any consumer protection laws like that by at least a decade. And again, in this day and age, when there are so many consumer protections and tamper evidences and who knows what, it's kind of mind-boggling to think that those things didn't exist in 1897. So, yeah, it was a real line in the sand, as it were, in the history of American whiskey that, all right, we're not going to put up with crap anymore. We're going to define what good whiskey is, and we're going to hold people accountable to that.
And on top of that, too, Connor, I had in front of me a prescription from a doctor in 1962 for bourbon, honey, and lemon. And in 1897, if a doctor's prescribing it in 1962, I guarantee you doctors were prescribing it. Of course they were. And that was another thing. You had all these doctors lobbying for something to be done to have some, you know, something that's labeled as pure and safe. So that was another level. It wasn't just, you know, hey, we want, you know, we're going to be good people and do this. There was that. There was also in the late 1800s, you had Mr. Clark in Peoria, Illinois, and doing the Whiskey Trust and trying to take over and monopolize back when it was legal to have monopolies in the United States to get that together. And they were just doing neutral grain spirits and adding those things. So it was a perfect storm, kind of. And it all accumulated, those clouds accumulated on March 3rd, 1897.
I mean, it was a remarkable thing to get passed, I have to say, this law, because it was against some pretty powerful interests. Mm-hmm. It's worth bearing in mind that it was still kind of a miss because they couldn't ban the other stuff. Right. They could just make you label it.
Yeah.
So they couldn't get rid of it. They couldn't get rid of the cheap stuff. It was too entrenched. So suddenly there's two tiers of whiskey. There's real whiskey, which they would bottle and bond. And I mean, the government said, we can't guarantee the quality of anything. But then they basically said, what makes good whiskey? And they said, it's all of these things. So we can guarantee that it does all these things. We can't guarantee that the whiskey itself is any good. But if it's 4 years old, you know, in the same distillery, so it's not a blend of God knows what, with, and if it's has no additives and it's 50% alcohol tested and guaranteed, so there's no sulfuric acid in there to give it a bigger beat or anything, then okay, you know, we'll pretend that we're not guaranteeing the quality. But they found a de facto way of doing it, so it was kind of an interesting workaround.
And I think that speaks to the name itself, right? Like, it's sort of confusing, like bottled in bond. Like, I mean, it's not exactly like it's saying best whiskey or purest whiskey, right?
Exactly.
But it's a little bit of bureaucracy right there, right? Because what it's saying is that the whiskey is going to come off the still and it's going to go into a barrel, and the barrel is going to be in a warehouse that the distiller himself can't even pull out without the government. Like, the government and the distiller both have to be there to open up the two locks on the door, right? So it's almost saying, like, we don't totally trust the distiller not to mess with the whiskey, but we'll half trust them. So,
we'll take it out of their hands, basically.
Right, right.
We're not going to give them the opportunity to mess with it.
Right. So it's kind of like the two of us are going to agree that nobody's going to touch this whiskey, which today, okay, whatever. You know, in the late 1800s, that was a huge, huge idea. And as Dave alluded to before, Heaven Hill has many different bottled and bond products, which is incredible. But the signature now is the bottled and bond Heaven Hill bourbon whiskey, which is 7 years old. And can you talk a little bit, Connor, you know, why this is the signature and why you love it so much?
Let's see, where to start? So this, it originates as our HH reg, our Heaven Hill regular mash bill, 78% corn, 10% rye, 12% malted barley, a very standard traditional bourbon mash bill. It accounts for close to 90% of what we make. But when people ask me, I've been in this role 5 years now, when people ask me, what's your favorite product? I will often answer, it's very situation dependent, but honestly, the one I'm probably most proud of is the Heaven Hill 7-year-old Bottle and Bond, because of all those words I just said. It's got the big Heaven Hill name written on it. It's got a picture of the distillery on it. It's got Bottle and Bond. It's got in red letters, this bourbon is 7 years old. So it speaks to everything that Heaven Hill does so well. Our 88 years of legacy, high quality whiskey. It's got our name emblazoned across the front of the label, which is something relatively new again. You know, we're talking more and more about the Heaven Hill name and, you know, speaking to this proud legacy we have. But then inside the bottle, you have a bottle and bond, so 100 proof, nothing added but water, made from one distillery, and that distillery DSP number is on the label, in a single season, first half or second half of the year, and at least 4 years old. And of course, this is 7 years old, which is rare in hell in any bourbons these days, but in definitely the bottle and bond. You know, most people hit the 4.0 and say good to go, but you know, we've got the chops, we've got the inventory, you know, we've got the ability to put a 7-year age statement on it and, you know, enjoy the fruits of that.
And why 7 years particularly?
It's just such a good age for this. I mean, this whole question, what's the perfect age for whiskey? I mean, it depends.
That's why I have.
Yeah, when we look at what we're going to buy, I mean, we have Elijah Craig, 18-year-old. We brought out a 27-year-old, and they are all stars in their own firmaments. But, you know, when we're looking at something that is available nationwide at a reasonable price point, but that is a stellar whiskey, you know, 7 years is a perfect age.
Noah and I have long been, we've long kind of agreed that the sweet spot for bourbon in particular is like 6 to 10 years. Yeah. And then there are exceptional bourbons older than that. But the bourbon really gets good, you know, in this range. So I'm happy to see a 7-year bourbon.
Yeah,
that to me is perfect drinking. That's where bourbon excels.
you know, there are a lot of bonded products out there now. I don't know if it's 40 or 50, and we have 10 or 12, maybe 13 of them. Mm-hmm. But again, a lot of those are 4.0. So in a crowded space, you know, again, Heaven Hill, we stand on the quality of our whiskey. That's what's brought us to where we are today, and hopefully for another 88 years and 3 weeks beyond that. But it's a super premium product at a very reasonable price point.
That's important with bourbon, though, I think. Bourbon is, it's the American spirit. You know, it's supposed to be available for people. I hate to see so much of it becoming this like collector's thing at very high prices. That means that people are buying it and not really drinking it.
And we do make it to drink it. I mean, that's the point, yeah, right?
Yeah.
and to be drunk the way that you like it. So that, yeah. I think, Dave, the corollary, and we've obviously discussed this quite a bit, is that it's, you know, the more expensive the whiskey is, the more intimidating it is for consumers to mix it with ice or club soda or ginger ale or even a little bit of water. And then there's this dogmatic insistence that it can only be drunk, you know, just, you know, perfectly neat, you know, yeah. It can never, it can barely even mix with the air. You know, you need purest air to drink this whiskey, you know, because it's so expensive. And meanwhile,
you have to take it into your overpressure room. Right, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No dust.
Hyperbaric chamber.
Nothing. Right.
Under the examination light.
Exactly. Hey, that's very important. You'll never appreciate the color of it unless you've got those going.
Right. Where really what I always loved about American whiskey is the fact that it wasn't intimidating in the way that some other types of whiskey are, right? And that you were encouraged to drink it the way that you like, and most people did.
American whiskey grew up with ice. Ice was there from the beginning of when bourbon and rye became what they are.
I like drinking it on the rocks. I mean, especially like with a 100 proof whiskey. I mean, that first sip is at 100 proof, but the ice melts, it starts opening the whiskey, and it builds slowly. It opens it up. You can really start dissecting the whiskey without having to have a super taster's palate, and you can just enjoy it that way.
Yeah. I mean, American whiskey laughs at ice. You know, this is not a problem.
Come in, brother.
It's not some delicate flower.
Yeah.
I mean, a city, you know, known for the mint julep, right? We're talking about this is a whiskey that would stand up to the dilution of crushed ice, of mint, of a little bit of simple syrup. I mean, you need a whiskey that can...
them.
Right, exactly. That plays well with them. That's not going to overwhelm them, but also would taste really good with them. So,
and
I mean,
refreshing on a summer day in Kentucky. You
know? Yeah.
Refreshing.
We've got a hot country. America is hot. It's getting hotter every day. But, you know, we need things that you can drink like that, you know, that we're not in the north of Scotland here.
No, certainly not. Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that is, you know, we, Dave and I have often enjoyed together and certainly separately highballs. And I think that this whiskey, like, is a perfect highball whiskey. And depending upon your preference or the day you've had, you know, you can add more or less bourbon or more or less club soda or ginger beer, or ginger ale. It's delicious.
Well, see, I've got to pour a little right now. Just because
finally
I've been there.
It is
it's lovely stuff. It really
do
is.
You think, Bernie?
Well, you know, to add to all that, you know, I love the meme of that guy that says, you know, prove me wrong, you know, and he'll make a statement and prove me wrong. So, and this is my prove me wrong, and I've got actually two extreme statements that people might take exception to. But so bourbon, you know, has all the laws. You know, there are laws restricting. It's not just whiskey. It's not made from any grain. It's the majority of grain corn. It's not just distilled up to 990 proof. It's distilled less than 160. It's not just put into oak. It's put into brand new charred oak, no more than 125, blah, blah, blah. That's some of the most restricted spirits on planet Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Just right there. But then when you take and put bottle and bond on top, which is the same class of materials, the same types of spirits, the same distilling season from one distillery stored for 4 years in oak barrels, in oak containers, bonded warehouses, exactly 100 proof by pure water only, the real name of the distillery, and you must list the distinctive, federally given distilled spirits plant milk, bottled in bond, are the most restricted spirits on planet Earth. Prove me wrong, right? So
it's pretty, you make a good case. I mean, some of the French get a little, you know, when you get into the wilds of cognac, at a certain point, well, they get some pretty serious laws there too. But
sure, we're talking a little Kentucky windage here, David.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. I mean, I don't think there's any that are more restricted, that's for sure.
There you go. Then on top of it, so everybody's clamoring now about rarity. You know, yeah. And so these unicorns and, you know, barrel picks, there's only 200 bottles of something and they're awesome. You know, there's, you know, all these bottles and they're so rare and they're hundreds and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But rare can also mean other things too. When I started in 2005 in the industry, there were 10 distilleries owned by 6 legacy companies, and Heaven Hill is a legacy company. If it wasn't for these 6, there wouldn't be the industry today. So we are one of those. But there were 2 distilleries outside of Kentucky. Today, there are 70 distilleries in Kentucky, and there's probably one opening now, 71.
Right.
and then there's 2,300 or so around the country. If everybody makes 3 labels each, that means there's about 7,000 or 8,000 labels of American whiskey. There's probably around 100 that are bottled in bond. Now that's rare. But if you want to go even rarer, in any given state or market, there's probably around 20. And of those, ones that have an age statement over 4 years old, even rare. There's probably of those 100.
You keep narrowing the funnel here, Bernie. Yeah.
You see where he's going with this?
Heaven Hill Bottle and Bond, 7-year-old, is probably one of the most rarest spirits on planet Earth, too. But it's kind of available, too.
This is the best thing, though. You know, I spent 17 years writing for Esquire magazine. It was a national publication, and I was writing about spirits and reviewing things. And I learned that if you can get something nationally or if it's well distributed, that's really important because that means everybody can try it. It's not some little rare thing that you've got to go to this one store in San Francisco up on the hill and you've got to ask for Mr. Key and he'll
on
say,
Tuesday.
I just think Tuesday. We might have a bottle in the back, yeah. But who are you? Who sent you? Right. You know,
no. I know funny handshake.
I mean, I know Mr. Key. We're good friends. Don't worry. I'll get you a bottle. But the fact that you can actually get it and something like this where, I mean, I'm just tasting this and it has what I love the most in bourbon is balance. It's not too woody. So many of the collector's ones are very old and have a lot of wood in them. This, you taste the wood, but you've got the richness of the corn in there. It's got that, you know, lovely, almost pecan pie, like corn sweetness, not too much, but just enough to smooth it out. And, you know, layers of flavor. That's fantastic. And the fact that you can, that it's available, it's not insanely expensive. It's not like hidden in the back room. I mean,
not yet.
That's what we should be aiming for. You know, everybody should be able to enjoy.
But you know, like Dave, I've learned my lesson with Bottled and Bond. When you and I and Bernie and Lou and others would always talk about Bottled and Bond, and it was kind of a, I don't want to say a trade secret. It was one of these things that, you know, you could go into any liquor store and find Bottled and Bond whiskey and buy it fairly easily because most people didn't know what it meant or that it connoted, you know, such a high standard, right?
They thought it meant like just old people's whiskey.
Right. Or who, I mean, there's all types of nonsense on labels, right? So they thought it was so, you know, you, me and Lou and Bernie, you know, decided, you know what, maybe we should tell other people about Bottled and Bond whiskey because it's such a shame that nobody appreciates. And to be honest, it was self-serving because partially I was worried that people would stop making Bottled and Bond and none of us would get it.
You look at Heaven Hill's legacy. It's our, to quote Bernie, longer, stronger, better value. Our products are generally higher proof, higher age statement, and lower price than the competitive set. And this product is an exact example of that. So
often when new products come out, you know, Dave and I, you know, some of the benchmarks that we always measure against are things like Rittenhouse Rye, Elijah Craig, Evan Williams, you know, this Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. I mean, these are like, if you're gonna come out to the product and you claim it's going to be better than what's out there, it's got to beat the Heaven Hill products, right? That's a major hurdle.
And if you
don't even come close to matching the quality of the Heaven Hill products, then it's even definitely no not worth charging. It does not matter. And it's usually more, which is, you know, insult to injury. So it's, yeah. I mean, that is, you know, that's sort of the industry secret too, that these products are definitely, you know, the benchmark, kind of like Bottled and Bond was. I mean, that's, you know, to bring it all around, Bottled and Bond was the benchmark, right, for both production and then also for consumers to say, this is not going to kill me, but it's also probably going to be delicious.
Which is important.
Absolutely. Both are important. Absolutely.
I'm going to beat this horse to death, okay? That we are a legacy distillery. That there's a lot that goes into what that is, and we are still family owned by the same family who started it. Max Shapira is just a couple miles from me right now, sitting in his office. I can go in.
He's upstairs from where I'm sitting. Yeah, he's right above me.
Yeah. Max was on an episode of our previous podcast, The Life Behind Bars. Yeah.
So
we've known Max for many years. Yes.
Absolutely.
Max is an icon himself, but you know, he doesn't take this lightly. Max can tell you without having to look at a piece of paper what Bottled and Bond is. Our family knows the inventory. It's not like, you know, there's some people that own distilleries and they wouldn't know how to look at an inventory sheet or you know, much about it just to go, hey, do we have enough of this? They're looking at making a profit right now and what they can do to maximize their profits because they're controlled by Wall Street and stockholders. We are not. So we can do the things, not to say that we're better than our company, but we have a different look. Right. And if we're going to say that we have enough 7-year-old whiskey of HH Reg that's made in the 6-month period, and we go to Connor and we say, that's, you've got to be able to make sure the production is what it's going to be because this is our plans and we want this to be on the shelves. Now, again, it's all projection. We could be wrong, but we feel pretty confident that this is going to be a shelf item, and we want it to be a shelf item, not where you have to go into the back room and talk to and say, I'm friends with John Carlin, you know, push us and see if we can do that. But yeah, this is a brand that we don't just look at and we don't know what we're looking at is what I'm saying.
And also this is a brand where the master distiller actually makes the whiskey, right? I mean, Connor, you're at the distillery all the time. I mean, probably more time than you'd like making.
No, that's my favorite part of the job is
making whiskey.
Is being there. Drinking whiskey, making whiskey. It's a toss up. But we mentioned the distillery. I mean, it's running now. We just came back up out of a Christmas shutdown. We're mashing. We'll start the stills on next Monday. But the team are there now making great whiskey. Last year, we had a record setting year over 440,000 barrels. I'm going to flog the supply horse one more little bit. He's not quite dead yet.
He's limping a lot.
the 2 million barrels we have is like 20% of the bourbon that's available in the universe. And we're the second largest holder of aging bourbon, but we are the number one holder of bourbon 7 years and older. So again, we got it.
And you have, obviously, talking about production, obviously your workhorse is the Bernheim Distillery in Louisville, right? Which is running night and day after the holidays. But you're also building, halfway done with a second distillery that will...
That's right. So the Heaven Hill Springs Distillery in Bardstown, it's about 3 or 4 miles from the site of the original Heaven Hill Distillery. Brand like 18 months ago, it was a cornfield. And it is, right about halfway finished right now. So, the still is in, the cookers are in, the yeast system is about 2/3 in, all the fermenters are in. We're running a lot of pipe right now, the grain unloading system is in. So, all the bits are being installed. We are on schedule to be in production by the end of 24.
And are you trying to, clone Bernheim with it, or to do something different?
We're not trying to clone it. Now, here's an interesting thing is we could have, you know, copied and pasted exactly every nut and bolt. It would have cost a fortune. But let's say theoretically we copied and pasted every nut and bolt from Bernheim down to Bardstown. They would make different whiskey. Not like, oh my God, this tastes this way, that tastes completely different. It would just be different because
it would be perceptibly different.
Correct. But we have designed and are building Heaven Hill Springs to make what will clearly be Heaven Hill whiskey very safely, very consistently, very high quality. It's the same focus as at Bernheim. So will the whiskeys be identical? Unlikely. In fact, almost definitely not. Will they both be consistently high quality, fantastic whiskeys? Absolutely, yes. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing the whiskey that comes out of there and what we end up doing. The plan is, so startup obviously is going to be a very, very complex, labor intensive, just long, long hours of work to get everything to work together. So we're just going to focus on making HH Reg there first. But let's say 6, 8, 12 months into it, and we kind of got all the bugs worked out, then we look at making some of the other mash bills. But for startup, it'll be Reg.
Don't worry, Connor. Dave and I are at your disposal. We're willing to come down.
You'll need a tasting panel.
I do appreciate it, guys. Thank you. I was worried about that one because no one ever volunteers for that job.
No, never.
We've got a giant monkey wrench that we can, a giant, you know, channel lock wrench. I can
put the little dents in the fermenters.
Willing to tighten pipes, you know, whatever you need.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Give.
Exactly. Well, I was like, weird. Maybe they changed their phone number. I can't get Dave or Noah to return
prank
my calls.
Prank call. No, it's exciting times. I mean, the volume we made last year, like, again, kudos to the whole team at the distillery and in the sister room of the warehouse teams. I mean, every drop we make, they got to get in the barrel and get put away, like the picture behind me here. And anyway, everyone across the organization, this wasn't little old me toiling day and night. This was a huge team of very dedicated professionals really into making great whiskey.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I just get to be the lucky guy to come in here and yap about it.
Well, and to your credit, though, too, Connor, you're one of the few master distillers. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that, you know, Connor, you know, we had a group come by and do a drive-by at the distillery, and there was Connor on the new site, and he was he's there. He's actually helping build a distillery. He has challenged the consultants and the building company and said, no, we're going to do it this way, not that way. I mean, I don't know.
God, I hope I'm right.
Yeah. There's a lot of distillers that just do what the consultants and the building company says. And to me, that's not a master distiller. That's someone who distills. But, you know, he's putting his reputation and his name on the line. And there's very few. That's a small universe.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Bernie. Thank you. Now I'm definitely not going to sleep.
Exactly. Now that it's on the public record. Well, thank you both for coming on and for bringing us some of the Heaven Hill, the Bottled and Bond Heaven Hill.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Dave and I, as he said, always love a whiskey in this age range. So this is, we're both very excited that it's 7 years old. So
particularly tasty one, I think.
Absolutely.
The last bottle I had from that first batch lasted, once I opened it, probably less than an hour and a half. Had some friends over, and that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
when you open the bottle and everybody drinks it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 7 years old, you're still allowing those vanillas and the honeys and the caramels, which, you know, traditional.
Yeah, see that. Oh, but that's really what I like in bourbon.
It really comes through. And if it's a lot older than that, we have bourbons older than that, that the wood characteristics start taking over. But as y'all
said, they get very lean, which is nice. But this is very forgiving and very pleasant, you know. And it's just one of those things that you instantly go, oh, yeah. And that's when you get that sweet spot with bourbon. It's a unique spirit. I mean, rye doesn't do that. None of the scotches rarely do that. Occasionally Irish whiskeys do it, but it's pretty rare to get that just instantly, like, full spectrum pleasure.
that depth of flavor and a certain richness that like really stands out. And especially, I mean, as Bernie, you have all the stats and figures, but there's so many bourbons today. But still, I mean, it's, you know, some this bourbon and a lot of the whiskeys that Heaven Hill make really stand out. You know, I mean, it's just a testament to, you know, this institutional knowledge of, you know, almost 100 years of distilling and just, you know, refining and refining and refining. And, you know, it's but still.
I like seeing it going into a drinking whiskey, you know, instead of sitting on the shelf and collecting whiskey.
Right. Absolutely. Me too.
We have enough of those for sure.
More of these.
Well, cheers to both of you. Look forward. We'll see you in another 7 years. And
hopefully sooner. Not that long, right?
Hopefully sooner before the next batch. We're looking forward to tasting what you're making today in 7 years. So
We'll see you at the opening of Heaven Hill Springs Distillery in seven years.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
I would come down for that for sure.
Absolutely, we'll have to have some sort of bash for that. It's going to be cool. I mean, the place is fantastic, and kudos to our partners, Buzik and everyone, Hussey Mechanical and Vendome, and everybody working down there. It's really exciting to be on site, and you know, everyone working there just seems to be into it and enjoying it and passionate about it, and it's fantastic.
Looking forward to it, and in the meantime, we'll toast in your honor.
Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fix Me a Drink. Dave and I encourage you to always drink responsibly. Cheers.